Thank you, Miss Rachel. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming to the service today. We appreciate the visitors that are among us, and you're our welcome and special and honored guest. Want everybody to take part in the singing. Hope that your needs are fulfilled and everybody's heart is uplifted today. Let's start within the gray book, number 33. Number 33. Good, good. Turn over toward the back a little ways. Number 209, bottom of the page. No, not one.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, Miss Rachel. Appreciate everybody being here today. Good to see everybody out. Glad to have our visitors with us. If you consider yourself a visitor with us, we are so glad that you have come out to be with our church today. I'm going to kick off what Brother Sam was singing in there. There was one particular part in there that kind of got my attention. Jesus knows all about our struggles, was the phrase in the song. How many of us are guilty of telling somebody, you don't know what I'm going through? Are we ever guilty of that? And we think nobody else knows what we're going through, but the Lord does. And I want us to keep in mind, whenever we have something that's in our minds or in our hearts that is just more than we think we can hardly even stand, He knows all about it. Not just the fact that He knows about it, but He understands it. And not only does He understand it, He went through it Himself. And you say, well, wait a minute now. He didn't go through those things that we have today. He didn't struggle with a television set. I agree, He did not. But He had other things that were similar that got His attention. And maybe that's something we always need to remember. He knows our struggles is what He does. Now, I'm gonna give you a prayer request a little bit early today in this service, and that's the fact that Paula took a phone call earlier this morning, just right before she left to come here, and a dear friend of ours is struggling. A young man that was all about the Lord for a long time, and he got married and he moved to another state, and now he's struggling. His marriage, I reckon, is okay, but he's gotten into some things that we'll just say drugs, and now he's in prison. And so I want to especially, hey, young people, listen, please. Take just about 2 minutes, put down whatever you've got on your mind. It can happen to you too. I would have never thought that young man would have turned away and got into such things. But every one of you, I'm going to say it that way, every one of you at one time or another in the near future, or maybe in just the short distant future, is going to be approached by something, whether it's drugs or something like that. It might even be something very harmless. But if you don't watch, it'll take you away from the Lord. It will. It'll take you away from the Lord. So open up your minds to God. Remember, He knows your struggles, and He is the one that can help. Don't turn towards these other things that are out there. Okay, I'm off my soapbox now. Good to see everybody here today. I appreciate everybody coming out for our service today. We want to do our children's church today, and so let's all come together here today. Kids, if you will, let's come right over here today. Good to see all of you. Come on, Luke. Come on, girls. Come on, boys. Thank y'all so much for coming up. I surely appreciate when you all come up to be a part. Don't you, Luke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, here comes Stevie too. Good. Good to see all of you. Who's gone back to school? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, man, goodness. I hate it. I know y'all look so forward to going back to school, right? No. Okay. I didn't either. I didn't look forward to going back to school either. Back when I was in school, that was back in prehistoric times, you know that. So I want us to think about something today that kind of came out of our singing last night. And this is going to be kind of short, and I know y'all like the short ones. they sung a song last night. It is one of my new favorite songs. And the song had this verse in it. It's all about Him. Now, I'm going to kick back to what I was saying a minute ago, that the Lord knows our struggles. But I also want you to keep in mind, everything we do needs to be about who? Come on now, wake up now. It's about the Lord, isn't it? Brother Sam was trying to help you. Whenever we look to the Lord for help, He will help us. The Scripture tells us that He is there for help in a time of trouble. And that's what I want you to remember today, that Jesus, the Lord Himself, He is our God, and it's all about Him. And He will help you, even when we really don't deserve help. You know, those times when we kind of get mad at everything and we're stomping our feet maybe and we're saying, no, there's no way that I could ever want to be around God's people. He's still there to help us. He wants to help you. And He will help you. But one thing's important. We need to say, Lord, help me. Now, let me give you, and I don't want you to think I'm building myself up. Already this morning, I've said, Lord, help me several times today. I'm going to say that Miss Rachel, when she's playing the piano, she said, Lord, help me do this. Brother Sam does the same thing. Everybody back here, if we have our hearts right, we'll say, Lord, help me. You know, when I was playing sports, you know what I did? Lord, help me. That's what my coaches taught me to do. They'd say, pray. Lord, help us to be a good sportsman. Lord, help me to make the shot. Ben does a good job of doing that. Ah, little sister says yes. But if we'll ask the Lord for help, He'll help us. In all things is what He'll do. All right, I said it's going to be short. So, okay, I'll let you go. Remember, ask the Lord for help. As I said, remember the prayer request I made a minute ago about the young man. I'm guessing he's probably around between 25 and 30 year old now. And I've known him now for probably at least 10 years. And so y'all remember that young man, that he'll get his life straightened out and he'll get back to working for God, is what I would ask you to do. Does anybody else have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Let's do remember Brother Chad and Jenna. New baby coming into the world. And let's do remember them in our prayers. Somebody else. Let's do remember Brother Tom's cousin who's got a lot of illnesses, and let's do remember him in our prayers. Somebody else. Let us all be about God's business today. Maybe your job today is just to pray. Maybe it's your job to sing today. But whatever the Lord puts upon your heart today, you be all that God wants you to be. Now, do not limit yourself. Well, I'll just do the praying today. Let somebody else do the other. If the Lord's got something for you to do, please do it. And let your light shine. That's what our lessons have been about lately. Letting the light of God shine in our lives. And we had a good lesson today that talked about basically what I would say is that we have a light to shine. Now, Brother Leslie had the line of the day as far as I was concerned. A lot of times we don't allow our light to shine. And I always use the old term about a lamp that was dirty. He said a lot of times we unscrew the light bulb, that is, that we don't let our light shine. So open yourself up today to let the light of God shine today. Anybody else have another prayer request before we go any further in the service? Let's remember Priscilla's cousin in our prayers. Let's also remember what Brother Sam said about us being influencers. Brother Randall, I'm not sure if his last name, his first name is Gus. Let's do remember his wife that's having liver problems. Let's do remember that. Somebody else. Yeah. Yeah. Sister June that passed away, her daughter, she'd probably be 40-something, 45 or something. She's already in her 50s. Does not know the Lord. She's not been saved. Pray for her. Paula had talked to her a few years ago and when her mother was real bad, and she said, don't let your mother pass away without her knowing whether or not you're coming to be with her. And as far as I know, she still hasn't told anybody whether or not she's saved. So do remember, Darla is her name, in your prayers. Somebody else. Let's all go to the Lord in prayer today. And as I say so many times, let's pray. Let's pray together. It's everybody pray. Whether you pray out loud or quietly, make sure you pray. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Chad, we feel like you are to lead us in prayer today. Would you please lead us and let's all pray.
Be seated. We'll continue singing. Let's take up number 94. Number 94, if you will. Good, good. All right, let's turn toward the back of the book. Slow down just a little and do number 216. 216. Last number that we have here that we'll try to do, kind of in line with your little kid's sermon this morning. Number 146. Haven't done this in a while that I recall. 146. I'll just keep on calling on His name.
Thank you. have our visitors with us today. If this is your first time being with us, we're so glad to have you today. And we want you to make yourself right at home with us and just come in and serve the Lord is what this is all going to be about today. I do have one quick announcement. We'll make more later. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, that right time? Yeah, 3 o'clock. This is basically going to be about the youth group doing this, but we want all the adults that can to come also. As you know, school is starting back. And the idea is that we all collect together, and we're going down here to Blackman School in front of the school, and we're going to pray not only for Blackman School, but for every one of the schools in this county, and I think you ought to say nationwide. God's big enough to answer all the way through. But we're going to go down here, and we're going to have prayer there for the school year. I think our teachers that are here today would say they need all the prayers they can get. Am I not right? I think we all know that, don't we? So we're going to go down and we're going to pray for the teachers. Not only are we going to pray for the teachers, but we're going to pray for the students. Not only for the students and the teachers, but anybody that's involved with the school system, we're going to pray for them. And I think that's needful. Yeah, we'll have a devotion here first, and then we're going down there for that. And we'll just collect together here. We'll do a devotional, and then we'll go and do that. I imagine some of you have already got plans. We announced this last week that we're going to try to do this. If you've already got something else planned, we do understand. But if you can get out of them plans, make time to pray. Come, let's go as a group, and let's make an impact on this school down here and all the other schools. The Bible tells us an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman, in other words, availeth much. And as I said before, every one of our teachers and children needs our prayers. So let's try to make time for that. I think they're going to have pizza and such afterwards. And so there'll be food to eat also for the kids. And there's not many kids that's going to turn down pizza, is the best way to put it. So let's keep that in mind. I wanted to announce that first. We'll announce it again later on in the service. But let's follow the Lord in this and try to make an effort to do something for our community here that can, well, we handed out backpacks last week. Okay, that was good. That was a great help to them. But our prayers is going to help this community more than anything else if we'll turn our hearts toward God and pray for them. Anybody got a word of testimony or anything on your heart before we go any further in the service? I always want us to follow the Lord and do what He wants us to do in the service, don't we? And let's be prayerful one for another. Let's do remember the revivals that are still going on in other places. Let's pray that they'll see many souls saved. It's what we have a desire to do. And if it's where you can, please try to go and be with them. One that I'll mention is coming up. It's not this week, and I think it's in 2 weeks, is Old Paths over here in Smyrna. They're very near to us. They're a small group, but they could use our visitation. If you can go and be with them over in Smyrna, please go and be with them. Brother Hunter Larkin is the pastor over there. Do keep them in your prayers. I'm going blank as to who their helper is. Yeah, Brother Frank Kirby is. Thank you. Brother Frank Kirby is helping them in that revival. If you've never heard Brother Frank or Brother Hunter, either one, take your pick. You'll enjoy the message. Is what you do. Brother Hunter is a young preacher, probably not even much more than 25 years old, But he is very capable young preacher. So do remember him in your these preachers in your prayers. But keep that in mind and try to make an effort to go and visit with them if you possibly can. So keep that in mind. Anybody got anything else? Let's get on with our message today. We're going to take a reading lesson from 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And we're going to take our thoughts from this today. But let's read first, starting off with verse 1 of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians is where we're taking our reading lesson. Brother Ben paid y'all a good compliment the other day, by the way. Did you get it? He said, I like hearing these pages turn. He gave me credit for it, but that wasn't me. I appreciate everybody turning your Bibles to that. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Excuse me. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's reading the first 10 verses of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians this morning for our reading lesson. We're actually going to talk about two different verses here today in this reading lesson. We're going to try to explain to you today by the Lord's help verses 7 and then verse 10 today, because they are the two that's going to tie everything together today. I want you to back up first of all and notice how that Paul, in his writing to this church, what he said to them. I didn't come to you in the wisdom, basically of man, and what I would say of the world itself. He said, I came to you knowing only Jesus Christ. That was his theme, I guess you would say, when he was preaching to them at the first time that he came to them. Preaching unto them Jesus Christ. And this message today will not be any different. I honestly believe that there, if the sermon does not mention Jesus in it, the man hasn't preached, to be honest. It needs to have something about Jesus in it. Now, I may not always say the word Jesus, but it's going to be about him and the Lord is what it's going to be about. But when we look at this today, I want you to take a look at verse 7, first of all. He said, for we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, the main thought today is this mystery that we're going to talk about. Now, a mystery in the Word of God, it is through the idea of silence that was imposed, is what that word mystery actually meant. It was not like what we would say Owen was watching with us the other day, and he was watching Scooby-Doo. Anybody watch Scooby-Doo? All right, thank you. Now, the idea in Scooby-Doo, there was a mystery. Usually it was somebody doing a crime, and they had to figure out what the crime was and try to figure out who it was that was doing that crime. You may think that that really has nothing to do with this, but the idea was in that mystery there was something that was kept hidden in that day from the group in the cartoon. Now, what I want you to kind of keep in mind today, that not everything that was in the that we have today in the scriptures was made plain to the children of Israel. I'll say it that way. Not everything was made plain to them. I believe that they knew about the plan of salvation. I think they knew about the Messiah coming. That's an easy one, but you can prove that by the fourth chapter of John when the Samaritan woman, who was a sinful woman, but she knew about the Messiah coming. She said, "I've heard about this Messiah," is what she said. They knew about him coming. That Messiah, by the way, was Jesus himself that was coming. But was it made plain unto them? Or was it somewhat under a cloak? Now, there's different things that are in the scripture, especially in the Old Testament, that basically were hidden to them at that time. Now, one of the things that we come to realize that these things that were hidden for a purpose. You might say, well, how in the world did they get saved? They got saved by the very same way that we do. They knew about that Messiah. They knew about the promise to Father Abraham and how that God was going to bless his seed, or through his seed would be blessed. Now, that was a promise that God had made to Abraham. Now, most people think that that promise was Isaiah. And in a sense it was, but the actual promise was the seed itself, which was Jesus himself, that came through the seed of Abraham. Now, when you see that, you may say, well, how was that a mystery? They did not know when it was going to happen. They didn't know exactly who he was going to be when he got here. They didn't know exactly how it was going to be done, although there was things throughout the law and throughout the manufacturing of the tabernacle that showed the children of Israel exactly what was going to happen. So what they did was they had to put their faith in God that he was going to send that Messiah, that he was going to show them these things, but they were going to take it by faith, were they not? Even the Ark of Noah was a type of Christ to them. And knowing about that ark, they knew that there would be a Savior that would come, and that that Savior would have one way into that ark of safety of the ark. They had one door, didn't they? And they could go in through that door and be saved if they would have just trusted God in that day. But who trusted God? Only 8 souls were willing to go in to that ark. That was a mystery unto them in that it was hidden to them, but it showed to them the Christ that it was there. Now, let's move over just a little bit before we go any further in this lesson today. Let's go over to the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew today. And we're going to spend a little time in Matthew at different places today. But I want you to take a first look at what Jesus was saying here in this day. In the 13th chapter, This is where Jesus tells the parable of the sower. Now, you probably know this, but let's give you a quick recap. And I'm not going to preach about the sower here, but he talked about the man sowing seed. And some of the seed went outside of the fence, we'll say, and into ground that was not prepared for the seed. And the birds come along and took it away, is what it said. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it sprung up, it withered away, didn't it? Then what the scripture said, some fell among the thorns, and it was choked in the thorns and in the weeds and such. And then he said, some fell on good ground, is what it said. And some of it brought forth a hundredfold, or I think is what he said, even some 40 and some 60. In other words, it doubled, tripled, and even quadrupled in number, even more so than what I'm saying. And the disciples, listen to what they said. In the 10th verse, and he says, and the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou in parables? Did you ever ask that question of God or of yourself in your mind? Why did the Lord speak in parables? Well, he's going to explain it to you today. In the 11th verse, and he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He said, but to them it is not given. Now, who was he speaking to first and foremost in this day? He was speaking to a group of people that had gathered together just to hear Jesus speak. But not everybody wanted to really hear what he had to say. Here in a few verses, he makes the statement, let him that hear, hear. You know, there's a lot of times that, well, gentlemen, how many are guilty like I am? Your wife tells you something, but you didn't hear it. You was listening, but you didn't hear it. Don't point fingers now. Now, the idea that I want you to have in your mind, we're all guilty of hearing something, but not hearing what it actually means, don't we? Even in the Lord's day, even the Lord himself, they heard him, but they didn't hear him. They did not hear what he had to say. You see, it was needful that he speak to them in parables, he said, because this is a mystery that is hidden to those that really don't want to hear it. That's where we're guilty at a lot of times, aren't we? We want to hear what we want to hear. We want to see what we really want to see. It's needful for us to desire to see the mysteries. You see, these disciples, these people that were following the Lord in that day, they had a desire. Do you know what a disciple really is? We usually call it just somebody who follows the Lord. That's what we generally think of who these disciples were. And we generally think about 12 men that were following the Lord. But there was actually hundreds and thousands of people that were following him and saying, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. And the actual term disciple means that they not only wanted to hear his word, they wanted to know what he was saying. They actually wanted to be like him. They wanted to be following him in such a way that they would have his understanding. How many of us went to school on this particular day, and we went into that class, and our mind was probably somewhere else, and we did not get the lesson of the day? How many of us go into a Sunday school class in the very same way? How many of us sit through a church service and the preacher is preaching to you the word of God and your mind is floating out the window, we'll say, or down the street, or maybe back at home, or something like that? How many of us are like that, but yet what the Lord is trying to tell us, There is a great mystery there for you to hear if you'll just hear. If you'll just open up your ears to what he is showing us. Now, let's take that a step further. Not only open up our ears, but opening our eyes to where we can see this great mystery. Now, when you go back through that parable, and I said I'm not going to preach it, and I'm not. But when you go back through that parable that he was teaching them in that day, he was teaching these disciples to get them ready to carry the gospel out to a lost and dying world that was, even in the days of Christ, they were dying in their sins, yet they did not want to hear. Sometimes when these preachers went out into their communities, there was people, when they sowed the seed, it might as well be cast outside of the field into ground that was not ready. Sometimes it was in rocky ground, and it kind of sprung up in them, and it worked in them in a great way. But yet, they did not follow. They choked it. They just withered out is what they did. Sometimes it sprung up inside of them, and it was like those that was in the weeds and such. The cares of the world brought them back. But that which fell on good ground. Now, I'm going to ask you today, are you the good ground? That's our thought today. Are you seeking the mysteries that are found here in this book? Or are we seeking other things? Maybe we're seeking other things. You see, these mysteries here are brought to us. Now listen to what Jesus goes on to say. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Now, he that hath, the first thing that an individual has to have in order to receive these mysteries and know what these mysteries of the word, not a mystery that is something that is a crime or something like that, but the goodness of God is what it really is. To know those things, you got to have something, right? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians once again, not to our reading lesson, but dropping down. And you know, you've heard us preachers quote this verse, but I want to make sure I get it right. He said, but the natural man, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And what that means is, he that hath not the Spirit of God in him, how do you get the Spirit of God in you? And that's by believing and trusting in God Almighty with all of your heart. I'm going to head and finish it up. Heart, mind, and soul is what it says. You can't just do it here and say that's enough. You can't just take it for a grain of salt or something like that and let it pass on. Remember, you're wanting to be that good ground is what you're wanting to be. Where that it'll bring forth a 20-fold or 40-fold or even 100-fold. Inside of you, you know, the thing that I have discovered, and this is not only true with me, it's true with others that I watch. If you go digging for a mystery, you'll find a joyful thing. We carried Cohen up to the mountains this week for his birthday celebration. As the saying goes, we spoiled. But we was in a gift shop, and they had a thing set up there, you know, where you could kind of act like you was, trying to think the right word. But anyway, you put the sand and the dirt in there, and you try to find a gem in there. You could buy a bag of sand with
stuff in it. And then you had to get the sand out to find the gems. I think about the men of years gone by. You know, there was a gold rush back in 1849, and just one man happened to find one little stone. And then somebody else found another. And then everybody on the east coast of this country went to the west coast hoping to go through some sand and some dirt to find enough gold. There needs to be a gold rush in us. You know that? Because there's something far more valuable than the gold of this world in this book. It is a mystery. It is hidden to those that are outside of the Spirit of God. They don't have the understanding to know these things. That's what the Bible is telling them. But he says, it is whosoever hath, has the Spirit of God, shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. If you've got the knowledge to go looking for the great treasure, which is the mystery of God, my friends, today you can find a great treasure. You can find a great treasure. You can find it. Because he has a little treasure for you. If you find a good preacher that knows this book, that's been digging in it, you'll get even more treasure. If you open up your eyes to it. If you go looking for it in that place. Now, let's go back to our reading lesson again. And looking again at what he says in this seventh verse. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Truthfully, I don't deserve any kind of glory. I'm a human being. I'm a sinful being. That's our nature, isn't it? But God wants to give us some glory. Maybe it's not the glory that you're first thinking about, is the kind of glory where somebody pats you on the back and say, boy, you did a good job there. But the kind of glory that your light shines just a little brighter. That you have the ability to speak to those that are sinners. Those that it's still hidden from. To show it to them. All right, now, this is probably what's going through somebody's mind. How can I do that? I don't know anything. If you go back to Matthew once again, and I'm going to a different place, if I can get my fingers in the right place here. Verse 25 of the 11th chapter of Matthew. What it says in that verse there. At verse 25. Jesus doing the speaking to Peter after Peter had made a statement. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast... I'm in the wrong place. Sorry about that. Verse 16 is where I'm at. Peter had said, thou art the Christ. Jesus said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But if you back up to 17th verse, that's where I should have been reading. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father. See, that goes back to our reading lesson again, verse 10.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. When you get into the Word of God in the depths of that mystery that is here, you can enjoy what you understand. You can get down into the depths of it. And as we say so many times, and we've heard different preachers over the last few years, make a point to read the Bible. Maybe even make a point to try to read the entire thing in a year's time. I've heard several preachers make that statement over the last few years. And it's a good thing. But don't just read it to be reading to read the Bible. I believe Brother Stewart said that earlier today. Don't read it just to be reading through. Read it, looking, and understanding. For the Spirit of God will help you in these things. We all know that the Holy Spirit was sent to us for a reason, right? The Bible says he is our great comforter. I want to give you one more verse out of John, the 14th chapter, and this is where Jesus is talking to his disciples. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Back up to what I said a few minutes ago. How can I do that? What he said right there. If you get into this book and you read, you study, just reading it is good. Don't get me wrong. This said this week. I take it back. I read it. This was a quote of Charles Spurgeon. And I know some of the younger ones may not understand this very well. He said, if you ever saw a cow, and I'm going to put this in my words, if you ever saw a cow take a big bite of grain or maybe hay or grass, they'll take it in, they'll consume it. And after a while, they do something that may, I guess most people don't realize what they're doing. You'll see them, pardon me for this, they call it chewing the cud. And actually what it is, they bring that grass back up. And they chew it up better. And they digest it. They send it back down into the stomach. And sometimes they'll bring it back up and chew on it again. That's what they'll do. If you want to know the mysteries of God, you get in there and you chew on it. Not only just read it, to hear it and to see it, but you bring it in and you chew on it. Really?
this is against what we say these days, isn't it, health-wise? That you'll get the fat out of it. If I was studying my Bible enough to make me big, this big spiritually, boy, wouldn't I be good? If we take all of that word in, it'll nourish us. We'll get to know those mysteries that are there. And what I'm going to say to you is be like an old friend of mine was. He's got dead and gone now. He used to love to get into this book and just look for something that he had not saw before. When you start doing that, you'll find these mysteries. And then when you start harmonizing together, when they go together, oh, it gets really rich too. My time's done. Thank you for listening to me today, Brother Sam, while we stand and sing. Take in the mystery of the Word of God, and you'll be nourished well above the healthiest man that's ever been on this earth. In my younger days, there was a guy by the name of Atlas. He had the muscles and the figure of what every man thought he should be. But spiritually, you'll be greater than Atlas ever thought to be. Look for the mysteries by the Spirit of God. While we stand and sing.
Number 274. 274.